Some might say an acquired taste. Others might simply say, well, they're just very good. Spectacular girl. She is a spectacular girl. You could say that about Dr. Sarah Barrow. You could say it about Joy Knight. You'd certainly say it about a young lady who, 26 years ago, I just came across the video recently, actually, Joy, was being grilled by the assistant to David Steele at the time and Lisa Maxwell on the start of a 24-hour broadcast-a-thon about when she was working for Heathrow Airport. And the only question that this assistant to David Steele could come up with was, you must have a lot of trouble with bombs, then, or bomb threats. How Debbie Say would cope? I said, still, it needs to be. You need to see this video. Yeah. I shall dig it out.
Oh, it sounds good.
Gosh, I'd like to see it.
But then, a quarter of a century down the line, we find Debbie has moved on from the delights of British Airways and is now one of the Globe's finest contributors in terms of human resources and part of the Mary Gober International set. And has been listening to part of the production and team from that perspective. So, Debbie, welcome back aboard the good ship Siren 107.3 FM. How are you keeping?
Thank you very much. Yes, very well indeed. Thanks, Alex. Very well.
For the benefit of people who might possibly be thinking, Mary Gober, if you just pronounce that G-O-B-E-R...
That's right, you've got it right, Mary Gober.
It's very, very, very crucial that that sort of phrase is used. What's it all about?
What's it all about? Well, it's really service training, customer service training, but with a bit of a different hat on, because we kind of get under people's skin, we look at people's attitudes, we call it their mindset, and we look at very, very sort of deeply, we look at the language people use when they communicate with other people and the impact that their language can have on other people. So we really sort of go into quite a lot of depth into language and a person's mindset, and we pull it all apart and put it back together in a better way.
So these are the kind of things, I know when we last spoke, that seem to be blindingly obvious and yet don't seem to be used or employed by a lot of multinational companies. It's interesting that, amongst others, Virgin Atlantic have gone on record as saying that they noticed huge improvements in customer service, customer care and so on. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Do you think education could benefit from the Mary Gober treatment?
Do you know, it so could. I would absolutely love to take Mary Gober and the methodology into schools, because the actual methodology, I wish I'd known when I was a teenager. I think it would help, particularly with really tricky situations, challenging situations for adults with children and for children with, you know, their parents and so on. I would love to. I think it would be such an opportunity. And I think, you know, youngsters would really benefit from it, just to sort of, you know, manage. It's actually about managing your relationships. And, you know, we can all do a bit with a bit of help with those sometimes, I think.
Okay. Clearly, customer service, customer care, feedback, service, and so on. We're at the behest of them, as we know, Sarah. It's a case of we need to score fives. We need to have those people coming through, even though it makes no logical sense whatsoever. Sarah, questions for Debbie.
Yeah, have you ever done any of this work with universities before?
Again, that would be a first. Mm. Love to, absolutely love to, because the greatest thing about the methodology is, you know, there's a really big sort of spin-off for you personally. So when people come through our seminars, I think they kind of expect, you know, it's going to be very corporate and it's all about, you know, how you say no to a customer politely and so on. It's actually not. It's a lot deeper than that. But actually the biggest spin-off is that people walk out of the sort of training room thinking, well, there's stuff here that I can use in my everyday life, not at work, but at home. Mm. And people really get that sort of halfway through, and their kind of ears prick up and you see a few light bulbs going on. And absolutely, yes, in universities, we'd welcome the opportunity. I think we'd be the thing to say.
Interesting. Joy. Right. Oh, is that a sceptical look?
No, not at all. I'm thinking back. I mean, obviously, this isn't the same at all. But when I worked in a public library, they got me to go on a welcome host course.
Okay.
And that was to train me up to be able to speak to people who came, just took books out, you know, and how to answer the phone and, you know.
What do you want? And can I help you?
Well, yeah, not? And you can see how well I've developed that skill. But I do think, I mean, I always think, oh, surely people have either got it or they haven't to a certain extent. You know, can you really teach people how to speak to other people if they just haven't got a clue. How, you know, can you do
I know what you mean. I mean, I think you're right. You know, a lot of this is actually just really good common sense, but definitely not common practice. And I think there is a lot to be said for having the right attitude in the first place. And obviously good recruitment of the right people really, really does matter. That doesn't always happen, and we get people come through who really don't have that right mindset. But what we do is we encourage them to use language that's, you know, of a very sort of positive mindset, whether they want to or not. You know, part of the sort of, if you like, the organization's commitment is that they will do this. And then if they buy into, okay, I'll have a go at the language, what you find is that's almost like self-affirming, that you use this more positive language, and you can really not help then have a sort of a changed or more positive mindset or attitude to the person you're talking to. I mean, I don't believe that any service givers who are coming to work, you know, on any sort of given day and say, you know, I'm going to give really bad service today. I think, you know, people mean to do as best they can. But one, just a quick example, you take the word empathy, and we all know what that means. It's about, you know, putting yourself into another person's shoes and understanding how another person feels. But sometimes in a real good effort to use language that complements that, to be empathetic, people say things like, well, I understand how you feel.
No, you don't. You never understood how I feel. Goodness sakes.
So, you know, it's looking at, you know, real clarity of the language we use that does complement the way that we want to express ourselves in a much more positive way.
Sarah, from the point of view of, obviously we won't mention any names here, but one of the things about academia is sometimes we play games. You know, there are sort of lines where, in essence, you know what's being said simply by not being said in the first place. That's a very interesting essay, springs to mind, in various sort of ways. Do you think, in terms of this being aware of the language, the sensitivity to language, which has certainly evolved from the 70s, 80s and so on, is a crucial part of what we're doing?
Absolutely, yeah, and I think it is so important. We do, it is common sense, but as we were just saying, as Debbie was saying, it's not necessarily always common practice, and I don't think there's any harm in being reminded of how we use language to each other as well, you know, not just sort of to our students, but how we treat each other around work, because, yeah, we come into work, we want to do a good job, we want to kind of have a nice time, but sometimes it just doesn't quite work out like that, and partly because of misunderstandings about language, so, yeah, really important.
And it's, of course, important to bear in mind that we often attract what we present and give out in the first place, really. So it's crucial from that perspective. What was it about the Mary Gober International in particular theme that appealed to yourself, Debbie? Was it a case of you saw things, oh, that resonates with me, or would you have preferred to have stayed with a different line entirely, or actually gone down a line of psychology analysis? What sort of perspective?
Yeah, it was actually that it resonated with me, and funnily enough, when I went on the seminar, actually, because I was, you know, I came along and met Mary Gober for the first time and sat through, you know, her normal sort of two-day methodology seminar, and I kind of went in the room with a bit of, not cynical, but probably quite sceptical, because I was thinking,
sounds like the Debbie I used to know.
You know, because I've done this for years, you know, I know what I'm talking about. And in actual fact, there were some really good new ways of, new sort of strategies for dealing with certain situations, but the biggest thing, as I said, I found was the, well, applicability of it to my home life at the time, and I thought, wow, I can really use some of these, and to my benefit, but, you know, to the benefit of, you know, the people I live with as well, and I did, and it worked, and I think for me that was the biggest tick in the box, that it did work, and I now, actually, although I do a lot of other types of training delivery work, I choose to only do this as customer service training, because it's the only one I've ever really found that truly works and has got that sort of integrity.
The good thing about Debbie is even when she was an undergraduate, she had that sense of commitment and seriousness that was very important, really. I remember her experiences of a fresher week where I just got referring to her as Debbie Haywood. What was Debbie Saywood? That's a different line entirely. Still, there we are. It is, of course, Welcome Week / the official title is Welcome Week, isn't it? No, so we've changed. I mean, there's another use of language. We've shifted from Freshers Week to Welcome Week.
Yeah.
Better than, obviously, you know, the graduation thing where we basically say, go forth and be fruitful, which is not what we say at all, because we say, welcome back, keep coming back. It's a lifelong learning procedure, clearly. Any thoughts, Debbie? I mean, a quarter of a century later on, where you sort of thought, right, I, you know, it's a time of the year where I think, yes, that's what I really appreciated when I was checking out that bit. Because, of course, the other good thing is that one of the establishments Debbie actually attended was visited by Pope Benedict recently, which is nice.
Indeed,
exactly.
Exactly.
Both there, just 25 years late, but never mind, we'll work our way through that. What were your thoughts on the whole thing then?
On
nostalgia not being what it was, or any sort of advice you'd like to give to any
students? Well, funnily enough, because I did catch the beginning of your show, and I was thinking about Freshers Week, and I was racking my brain to think what Freshers Week entailed for me all that time ago, and you've kindly reminded me it was 26 years ago. Thank you very much for that.
Time is an illusion, Debbie. I've said that, every
You're
day.
You're so kind. And, there's one thing that, apart from, of course, meeting your very good self, Alex, the one other thing I remember about Freshers Week was a pyjama party.
Yeah.
And that's all that sticks in my mind, these 26 years ago. And the other thing that does stick in my mind, and I want to turn tables on host here, is, in fact, Alex, I must say, your mind, and this is put in a very respectful way, is like a filing cabinet. I've tuned in and out to the show, and you just pop open a filing cabinet and out it comes, and you pop it back, and do you know what? I will tell everyone, for those of you who haven't known Alex for 26 years, it was just the same. He's had this, I do believe, since he was born, and I would say Google, well, what do you need Google for? And you've got Alex left you, you've got it all there in one.
Fact is, I wasn't born, I was built, but there we are. different line entirely. Well, what could we say? A little bit of insight into the origins of Midweek Drive there, Joy. If you want to dig a little bit deeper, a bit of archaeological
work.
Very
interesting.
Any other questions you'd like to put to Debbie?
Well, I'm interested, Joy, because obviously we're talking about language and the language you use, but how important is body language and the way we present ourselves? Because obviously, if somebody comes across as being very friendly and helpful, it's one thing, but if they look awful, it automatically puts a barrier up, doesn't it?
Awful in what sense, Joy? Put on a bit of weight,
What's going on here? Not been going to the gym regularly, failed to brush the hair, that sort of thing.
I totally agree, actually, and without sort of giving too much away about the methodology, I know Mary Gove will be happy to share this, when we look at actually that the whole of service giving is really about two halves. It's not all about the language and the person side of the job, if you like, but it's also about the technical aspects, the competence of the person, and in that area you'd certainly look at that the person, the physical qualities, and how they appear, how they look, and certainly in some jobs you'd expect that's of a very high quality, and I think it's it would. It's this business of, can you have one without the other? Well, I personally say, well, no, you need both, and you need both really in a good sort of tuned balance of each other. Mm. Otherwise, you get it all wrong. It's no good having all the right language and the right, it's expressions to use if you don't present well and you're maybe not technically, particularly competent. Mm.
Play to your strengths, that's the key thing. Play to your strengths and work
absolutely
on that and develop various other bits and pieces. I actually was doing that very sort of thing a few days ago with a little day trip to Harrogate where we did all sorts of wonderful things. Joy, you weren't with us.
Oh,
but
sadly not. We thought of you.
Did you?
Yeah, we did. Richard said, I wonder how Alex is getting on.
Well, it's online, and I was actually...
Well, I shall say to Richard.
I was right at the very top of Harrogate Theatre. Yes, which if you have any slight vertigo at all is not a place to actually find yourself, particularly when you're at the top of the spiral of the operatic house, which is there, and you think, how did I get here? I put it all down to Debbie Fiddler all those years ago. Anyway, Sarah, any other questions or thoughts you'd like to add to Debbie before we move on to Rural TV and Sarah Chase?
Yeah, just really quickly, I mean, I guess you've kind of confirmed it really, but I just think it's amazing that you're kind of saying that you can change people's behaviour. I mean, you actually sort of see that during the course of your workshops, do you kind of see them going from sceptical to this can work?
Yes, you do actually, and sometimes it's great when that does happen during the course of say 2 days, and very often it does, but I would say by and large we're dealing with people who already got a pretty positive attitude, and you kind of introduce them to the sort of language that sort of mirrors that. But funnily enough, I not so long ago had a lady on a seminar, on a training course, and quite frankly, it was the attitude of the whole mindset. mindset and everything that came through from her was that she simply didn't want to be there. She really had had enough. She was huffing and puffing and didn't contribute, and she clearly wasn't having a very jolly time. And in fact, I did sort of have a little word with her during a break, and she just said, no, it's not my bag, it's not my cup of tea. And, you know, she wasn't disruptive to the group, so, you know, I let it be. And she said, no, I'm happy to carry on listening, but that was that. And about 6 months later, just before the summer, in fact, she turned up on the trainer course. So what we were there doing was actually deepening people's knowledge of the method. So I was quite surprised to see her there, because I thought, well, she didn't get this. She didn't want to be part of it. And she strode straight up to me and she said, you know, I just had to have a bit of time to reflect on it. And she said, since then, it's just made such a difference. And I was in a pretty bad place anyway when I came through the original seminar, but I have completely changed my attitude, so much so that I think I can be your biggest advocate of it. And she was. She literally, you know, changed her attitude, her mindset around, and she did fantastic. She's still doing extremely well, fantastically well. In her role, she was then promoted. So it really can work, but I think, you know, it's all going to come from, I want to do this, yeah. You know, and it works for me, rather than this is something I've got to do.
Yeah.
Ties in even with undergraduates starting their first footsteps into graduate work. If you don't want to take part in the whole thing, it's not going to happen. You've got to get that balance. You've got to share that at work. Otherwise, you'd just be an energy vampire. And we can do with that energy vampire.
Energy vampire. Oh, I like that one. Oh, I like that.
Yeah, you can have that, Debbie. There's another one for you.
I'm going to write that one down. Thank you for that.
Exactly. Joy, last two questions, please, for Debbie Fittler.
Oh, Debbie, have you had an enjoyable telephone conversation with us tonight?
I certainly have. It's been even more delightful than last time, thank you.
Brilliant. And so will you join us again in the future?
Of course, I'd love to. If you'll have me back, yes, please.
Hooray, hurrah,
hooray!
Triple wonderful times, etc. Here come the Partridge Family.